Okay, that's better. All right, y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? We are going to be talking about living in forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, I would ask if you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word. This is the Lord's Prayer, and we've been trying to break down the Lord's Prayer and looking at it, the different parts of it. And so I want us all to read this together, and then we'll stop at the part where we're going to be looking at this morning. So when Jesus, the disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he said, "Well, then pray then like this." Let's all read this part together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we come to your word, I pray that we would be people who would hear what the Spirit has to say today. God, that we would be people who would be imitators of you, and that how you have called us to live, we would live. And so, Lord, as we look at the topic of forgiveness, I pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts and mind. Lord, may we hear from you. And if there is a work that you need to do in our lives, whether it be salvation for some or reconciliation for others, that you would do that work this morning. Help me to preach plain and clear today, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize that there is a heavy judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth. I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I asked this question to the first service: what is something people love to receive but not release? And the answer I got first was money. Right? Money. Well, we're not talking about money this morning. We're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is always something we do love to receive, do we not? Have you ever wronged someone, hurt someone, did something that you shouldn't do, and you were guilty, and you knew you were in the wrong, and the person forgave you? That's good, right? That's always a good time and a good day and a good experience. But oftentimes, we have a difficult time releasing forgiveness or forgiving others who have done something to us. A.W. Pink had said, like in the speaking of the Lord's Prayer here, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then there's an "and" there, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," right? He says, as often as we should be asking God, "Give me," we should be also saying, "Forgive me." That the Christian life is one where we're seeking the Lord for his grace and his mercy every day, and we ask for forgiveness, we repent, we live a lifestyle of repenting before God and making our walk with him as close as possible. And there's another side of forgiveness, not just the forgiveness that we receive, but there's also the forgiveness that we are supposed to release. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning as we look at the topic forgiveness. Now, in Nehemiah is a book about rebuilding the walls. And so they're rebuilding the walls. They had been destroyed, and Nebuchadnezzar gave them the command that he go rebuild the walls to keep security. And as they're doing that, they're having opposition. Now, they had abandoned the ways of God, and that's why God had judged them, and he's getting them back to the teachings of the Torah, the Bible, their Bible, the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible. And as they're reading through that, he gives them a little history lesson. And in this history lesson, he reminds them that there was a time when God did something miraculous and amazing, and he split the Red Sea. They were in bondage to Pharaoh, and God split the Red Sea. They crossed through on dry ground. He gave them manna on the ground, water in the rock. He provided all that they needed, but then they did something so foolish, they began worshiping a golden calf. And then they later on began worshiping the Baals and the false gods and the Asherah, and they began moving away from God. And you think, how could a people that had seen God do something so amazing then turn around and do that to the Lord? They had been released from captivity, God had brought them to him, and then they go worship false gods. But even when that was the reality of what happened, here's what Nehemiah reminds them about the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, he says this: they refused to obey, talking about the people of the Israelites, the Hebrew people. They refused to obey and were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them, but they stiffened their neck and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God, what? Ready to forgive. Wow. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. I want you to capture the heart of God of who he is. In his very nature, he says he is a God who is ready, willing to forgive. Now think about that. They were living in abomination to God. They were thumbing their nose at God. They were worshiping false gods, but yet God still was ready to forgive them because he's gracious and he's merciful. He's merciful and he has steadfast love. This is a special type of love that God has. In the Hebrew, it's hesed. It's a special, unique, loving kindness, steadfast love. It's this love that God has for his people. And he's ready and he's willing to forgive. To use the word forgive in the Hebrew mindset, it's an atonement for. It's a lifting up or carrying away. That if you sin and you acquire this a massive amount of debt, it's like it's been canceled. That's why the Bible uses language when God forgives us of our sin, he casts it as far as the east is from the west. He carries it away. God is ready to forgive. Aren't you glad of that truth? Aren't you glad that God is ready and eager and willing to forgive? Because that is the condition that we all are in apart from Christ. We are rebelling against God. We have all sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so we are guilty before God, but God was ready to forgive. How? In that he sent his son to die for our sin. What happened at the cross of Calvary? What was it that Jesus came to do? He came because the Father was ready to forgive. He offered his son as the atonement. He bore our sin on the cross, what the Bible says. He became sin on our behalf. He never sinned, but he became sin. And on the cross of Calvary, that is when God the Father poured out his wrath upon his son so that he paid the penalty that we should have been paying. And if we place our faith and trust in Christ and believe in him, then all of the payment that we owed went to Jesus, and our debt gets canceled and the burden of our sin gets lifted. The day that you were saved, the day you called upon the name of the Lord, the day you gave your life to Jesus, how many of y'all remember that day? How many of y'all remember the day when the burden of your sin was cast away and you were forgiven and you were released? How many of y'all say, that was a very good day? Say amen. 2 weeks ago, a lady in the third service, it was after the invitation, she came up, she said, I didn't feel comfortable coming in during the invitation, but I want to talk to you about I need to give my life to Jesus. And so I prayed with her. And she called on the name of the Lord. And as I prayed with her, her, I don't know, she, I don't think she was conscious of what she was doing. She was praying, she was conscious of her praying, but her expressions. After she got done praying, she did this. She went, she let out a sigh. And I think that, that moment, she felt the burden of her sin, the weight of her sin that was heavy upon her, just be lifted up by the grace of God and saying, I have saved you, I have redeemed you, your sin is forgiven. That's a good day, amen. Now, here's what the Bible says about forgiveness. It is because of that. It is because of God's grace. It's because of His mercy. It's because of His steadfast love. It's because of what He has done for us that we are to forgive those who sin against us. He says this in Colossians 3:13. He says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, we are to what? It says, forgiving each other as the Lord has what? So you also must forgive. You see that? Why are we to release forgiveness when other people wrong us, hurt us, say something mean about us, do something not right to us? Why are we commanded by Scripture to forgive others? Because what? We have been forgiven. Jesus has forgiven us. We are to forgive others. In Ephesians chapter 5, I don't have this on my notes, as I was studying before I got in, Ephesians 5 came to my mind where he says, be imitators of God. Oh, they put it on there. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Okay, be imitators of God. As Christians, we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to be like God. We're supposed to be like Him. And He says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So what the Bible says is that if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves believers in Jesus, we're supposed to be imitators of God. We're supposed to be Christians who are Christ-like. We're supposed to conform our life into the image and the pattern of how Jesus lived. And if God was gracious to us and forgave us of our sin, then we in turn are to be gracious people and forgive others. Amen. In your journal this week, if you'll read through that and you look at it, you're going to read the story of Joseph. Now, that story, if you read it in its entirety in one setting, I think that's the best way to read that, because you capture the whole narrative and the whole story of what happened to him. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. They were jealous of him. They didn't like him. And so they sold him into slavery. And so he gets taken away from his father, whom he loved, his brothers, and he ends up getting sold again, and he ends up in Egypt. He rises to power, but then there's an accusation charged against him, then he goes to prison. And then while in prison, he finally gets out of prison and comes to power, and he helps Egypt avoid a famine. Well, in Canaan, there was a famine, and so Joseph's brothers come seeking some refuge and seeking some sort resources. They don't know Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. Joseph's learned a new language by then. He speaks with an interpreter to his brothers so that they can't figure out that it's him. And he speaks with them, and he tries to figure out where they are. And ultimately, as you read through it, you will read one of the greatest stories of forgiveness in the Bible. In fact, in our English Bible, The word forgive is not used until that story. And we have a picture of a man, Joseph, who could take vengeance out upon his brothers, who could say, you know, you hurt me, you sold me, I lost years with my father. He could have been angry, he could have been bitter, he could have been all puffed up and said, you wronged me, you wronged me. And now he had the authority and the power to get them back. But instead of getting vengeance upon them, he showed them grace and mercy. That's the story of forgiveness. That's the picture. Jesus, he tells a parable. He paints a picture with a parable. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. It says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Now, Peter thought he was going far and beyond the rabbinic tradition, not what the Bible said, but the rabbinic tradition said that you only had to forgive somebody three times. They had the old three strike and you're out rule, right? After the third time you forgave him, the fourth time, didn't have to forgive him anymore. And so Peter is thinking, okay, how often should we forgive somebody who offends us? Seven times? Trying to impress the teacher, right? And so here's what Jesus says. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, in some accounts, it's seven times seven or 70 times seven. The point being is this. How often should you forgive someone who sins against you? And the answer is every time. There's not a number that you can start keeping record. Remember, in Corinthians, love keeps no record of what? Wrong. There's not a record you can keep, oh, they've hurt me, they've hurt me, they've hurt me, they said this about me, and you reach a point to where you're free to forgive them. No, Jesus says you're always to forgive. You've been forgiven, therefore you are to forgive others. Now that is not always easy to do, is it? In the flesh, can we forgive people in our fleshy nature? What does our flesh want to do when somebody hurts us or wrongs us or says something about us? What do we naturally in our flesh, the old us, want to do? Revenge, get back, get even. Withhold forgiveness. We want to hurt them. We want them to feel as much hurt as what we have felt. If they've caused us loss, we want them to lose. And that's the natural fleshy desire that we have. It takes the Spirit of God living in us to say, to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, listen, remember your sin and what God's forgiven you of. You are to be gracious and forgiving and ready to forgive like I am, because you're supposed to be imitators of God, beloved children. Now, I know this message may bring up a lot of emotions right now, because there's some of you, you may be at peace with every man. You may not have odds with anyone. And if you are, you are blessed. And then thank God for that. Keep living like that. Bible says, owe no man anything except love. Okay? But this morning, I don't know your situations. I don't know what you're going through. There could be someone that you are at odds with, someone that has hurt you, someone who has wronged you. Maybe someone you've hurt, maybe someone you've wronged, whatever it might be. I would ask that you allow the Holy Spirit to begin working on your heart to say, how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? He tells this parable about forgiveness. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Some commentaries estimate that up to $10 million. Okay, so this guy owed an amount that there was no way he was ever going to be able to pay back. Right? I mean, if you owe $10 million, would you be able to pay that back? If you can, I'd like to talk to you after the church is over. We got some debt on this church we'd like to pay off. Okay. That's an amount that he's not going to be able to pay off. Okay, so he's in a position where he's in trouble. Verse 25, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Now, he's pleading for mercy. There's no way he's going to be able to pay this guy back. But he's making an attempt. Lord, be patient with me. Give me time. I'll pay you back. In verse 27, it says, and out of pity for him, or compassion, your translation might say compassion, out of compassion for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Now, how many of you all know would say that if you owe $10 million to the bank and the bank said, guess what, we're going to cancel that, we're going to release you from that debt, that would be a very good day. Amen? I mean, you'd think this man is rejoicing, singing, praising, shouting. I mean, what do you picture this man probably doing? I mean, I kind of picture him going down the road going, hey, how you doing? It's a blessed day. And I mean, just being so excited, so happy. Why? Because he had his debt canceled and he was free from that weight. He was released from that. He was forgiven. Let's see how the story unfolds. Verse 28. But when the same servant, this is the one that just been forgiven, but when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, like $100. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. This is the exact same thing he pled before the master, right? What did he plead when he owed that great amount of money? He fell to his knees and said, Lord, he said, Master, have pity on me. You know, patience with me. Be patient with me. And give me time. This guy says the same thing to him. Now, one would think after you'd been canceled out $10 million and this guy owes you $100 and he says, hey, be patient with me, you'd be like, what? No problem. I just got forgiven of $10 million. That's fine. You take your time. You'd think that's what would happen, but that's not what happens. Verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with patience, but he refused. Verse 30, he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. The people that had seen this guy just be forgiven of the $10 million, they saw him treating him like that, and they were like, whoa, something's not right about that. And they go and they tell the master what had just happened. Then his master, verse 32, summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. Wow, that's heavy. Well, I have a right to hold a grudge. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to withhold forgiveness from them. Jesus knocks all of our rights out when he canceled our debt at the cross. Because every single one of us was that guy that owed $10 million. Our sin was heavy and guilty before God, but God, in his love, even while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Jesus died for us. And through faith in Jesus, we've been forgiven of our sin. And so therefore, when someone wrongs us or hurts us or comes against us, we are to release that forgiveness to them. Paul says this in Ephesians, reminding us of what God's forgiveness has done. In him, Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his what? Grace. So we've been forgiven, right? And then in Ephesians 4:32, you might have learned this in Sunday school or in vacation Bible school. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, what? That wasn't too loud. What? Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we are to forgive others based on the fact that we have been forgiven by God. And if we are imitators of God, if we're Christians who are supposed to live out our faith and be like Christ and be imitators of God, if God forgives us of our sin, then we are to forgive those who sin against us. When we forgive people, that is one of the closest ways that we can actually imitate God, to be like Christ, to offer grace and mercy. Now, in this parable, you see a heart problem in the one that refused forgiveness, don't you? Jesus specifically says, you know, this is what God the Father will do to you if you don't forgive people from the heart. So this is the heart of the issue, okay? From the heart. This man wanted to be forgiven of his debt, but he didn't want to extend grace to anyone else. He wanted the master to be forgiving to him, but he didn't want to be forgiving to others. There's a problem there. If you call yourself a Christian and all you want is the benefits of God without the obedience to God, you've got a problem. Now, let me make this clear. Throughout the Bible, I think the Bible is very clear that our works do not save us. Ephesians 2:8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man should boast. Okay? So our works do not provide salvation. However, our works give proof to our salvation. When we do things from the heart. Now, let's do a little Bible lesson here. You ready? Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments or follow my commands. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll what? Keep my commands. So when we keep the commands of God, when we try to be imitators of God, like Paul admonishes to do, when we're trying to live like Christ, it is because of our love for Jesus. And so our works and the things that we do for God is out of our love for him. Does that make sense? Say yes. Okay. So like baptism. Water baptism does not save you. Right? The act of that act does not save you. You can get dunked in the water so many times that the tadpoles know your name, and you can go in lost and out lost. That act doesn't save you, okay? It is the blood of Jesus that saves you. It's faith in Jesus, However, Jesus commands us to what? To be baptized. It's part of the Great Commission. That's one of the duties that we have to do as a job. Go ye there for work. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are to be baptized. Okay? Now, a person who claims to be a Christian, listen, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So be patient. Let's work this through. A person who claims to be a Christian is supposed to love who? Jesus. And if they love Jesus, then they'll what? Follow his commands. And if Jesus says to get baptized, then what will the true, genuine believer do? Get baptized. Why? And they love Jesus, right? Out of love and obedience. Now, a person who were to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I am not getting baptized. I just will not get baptized. Uh-oh. We got kind of a problem now, don't we? You see a problem here? It's not that the act of the water is what saves us and then them refusing to do that. It's an issue of the heart going on here. Because if you right out refuse a command that Jesus says, and Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands, do you see the problem? Yes or no? You see that? There's a problem there. Because if Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commands, and he tells us to get baptized, but we say, not doing it, now we begin to follow our own commands. Now, forgiveness. The Bible is very clear that if someone wrongs us, if someone hurts us, if we know somebody is at odds with us, he even says, "And lay your offering at the altar, leave it, and go make reconciliation with them, and then come." The Bible is very clear that we are to forgive people. And so when a Christian, if a Christian were to say, "I will not forgive them, and I won't forgive them," that's a problem. And that individual is on dangerous ground of maybe proving himself or herself of not being a true, genuine believer. Because if you love Jesus, you'll what? Follow his commands. And if the Bible says, because God has been so gracious to us, and God has showed us mercy and loving kindness, and God is one who forgives us and cancels our debt, and God has redeemed us, then if someone offends you or hurts you or does something wrong against you, and we are to forgive them because God has forgiven us. Now, is that something we always want to do? In our flesh, can we do that? I don't think we can. But as a Christian, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And through the Spirit of God, he can empower us and enable us to give grace to someone, even when that inner old me doesn't want to. Now, this morning, let's let the Lord search our hearts. The challenge this week is going to be this. Is there anyone that you are at odds with or have conflict with that you need to forgive? Is there a temptation that you want to show vengeance rather than grace? You want to get even rather than show mercy. Because here's what's going to happen. Bitterness and anger and holding a grudge towards somebody will destroy your life. So you got to release it. You got to release it. Let it go. Cast it away. So if we would, just for a moment, just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would search the hearts and minds of everyone here today. Lord, I don't know situations and I don't know what people are going through, but you do. You know if there's someone here today that is struggling with unforgiveness. Lord, would you speak to them? Would you let them know? Would you enable them and empower them, God, to release it today, to forgive? Holy Spirit, I pray that right now you search hearts and minds of anyone who does not know you. They have never surrendered to you. They never called upon the name of Jesus. And right now, they're feeling the weight and guilt of their sin. And they need a new life. They need to be forgiven by you and born into your kingdom. Would you speak to their heart today? And may they come this morning and call upon your great name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.